This is Rick Wood. I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with our newly minted town manager, Ms. Natasha Tucker. Welcome aboard, Natasha.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much.
Before we get into how you made your journey to Colonial Beach, I'd like to get an idea of the young Natasha Tucker. Tell us where you grew up, what your childhood was like, those things that helped make you who you are today.
I grew up in Miami, Florida. I am a child of immigrant parents. My parents immigrated here from Haiti back in the 70s. So I grew up in Miami, Florida, a very diverse community. Loved my childhood there, but upon graduation from high school, I have a bit of an adventurous spirit, and so I joined the military. I was in the military for 4 years. My MOS, which stands for Military Occupational Specialty, was logistics. As a logistics specialist, I was in charge of procuring all items for the unit I was stationed with. So if we're talking about vehicles, tanks, batteries, car parts, anything from the really, really small to the really, really big, I was in charge of procuring for the units I was attached to. After my time in the military, I attended Fayetteville State University in North Carolina. From there, went on to attend law school, again in Miami, St. Thomas University School of Law, and at the same time also obtained my MBA degree. So I am an MBA JD and did a little bit of time in real estate law before I ventured into municipal government, and so worked for the city of Delray Beach as their procurement specialist, and then moved on to DeSoto, Texas as the purchasing manager before arriving here to Colonial Beach.
With your job in procurement with the Army, that sounds as if that was a position that required a lot of attention to detail. Where does that come from?
So my time in the military, of course, the discipline that was instilled in me through basic training really honed in my attention to detail. So I, just the woman that I am today, I owe that all to my parents. My parents always, always indicated the importance of education. It's funny now, my sister and I, looking back on how we were raised compared to our friends. So when our friends would be happy with, let's say, obtaining a 75% or an 80% on an exam, if she or I were to bring in, say, a 90% score on an exam, we would get asked, well, what happened to the rest? If we even obtained 100%, our parents would ask, well, were there any extra credit points that you could have obtained? So it was always instilled in us to work hard, get the high marks, and if there's any opportunity to even get extra credit points, to go for those things. And so that was instilled in me very young. So I had to be aware of the minutiae, the smaller details, and in reading not only the sub notes, the footnotes, but footnotes to the footnotes. And my time in the military and basic training, that was developed more, and that's where my interest in procurement and the law and in finance comes in, because all of those disciplines really require that you look at things with a magnifying glass and go through things with a fine-tooth comb.
You said you were in real estate law, I think you said, correct?
Yes.
What made you go from there to municipal government?
Well, I'll have to say my short, and I say very, very short time in real estate law, I worked for the banks during just the beginning of the foreclosure era. I did not like the fact that I had to tell people that they were losing their homes. Some of these people had families or they were elderly, did not like that aspect of the job. And so I couldn't turn off the human side of me because everyone had different situations. It wasn't as black and white as somebody just not making their mortgage payments. There were situations where families fell ill and they had major illnesses, and as primary breadwinners weren't able to afford to make mortgage payments. It was also during the time when there were a lot of layoffs going on and people were just being laid off from their jobs. So there were illnesses to consider, and just the fact that people were being laid off where they weren't able to make their mortgage payments, not because they didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And so the human side of me just could not reconcile that with the job that I was tasked to do. And so I had a friend who I'd gone to law school with who knew and was involved in municipal government, and they encouraged me to take a look at that realm in having discussions with fellow law school members. A lot of them worked for municipal government. Some were city attorneys. Some were in procurement. And so because of my background in procurement in the military, I thought that would be a better fit for me because I enjoyed reviewing contracts, negotiating contracts, and that's how I got my start in municipal government.
So where did that start begin? Was that in the Miami area?
That was in the Florida area. So I started with the city of Delray Beach. So Delray Beach is a coastal community in Palm Beach County. So South Florida, very beautiful coastal community, very much similar to Colonial Beach, in which our waters was the attraction that brought visitors and residents to the area.
Put us in the passenger seat and take us from Delray Beach to Colonial Beach with you. What was that journey?
I was in the purchasing department in Delray Beach. I had plateaued and there was no more upward mobility for me. And so in looking for other opportunities, I came across the purchasing management position in DeSoto, Texas. Now, DeSoto is a suburb of the greater Dallas area. And so I moved to DeSoto, Texas as part of my career progression. So after having spent some time in DeSoto, again, having plateaued out in that department, mm-hmm. looking for upward mobility, did some research and found the opportunity here at Colonial Beach. I applied for the assistant town manager position and was hired to do that.
Obviously, your predecessor has moved on to other things. Why was this particular job of appeal to you? Because one thing that is very obvious about you is that you like to constantly be moving up.
Correct.
And we're a small community. And yes, it's a step up from the assistant town manager position. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping you're here with us forever. Mm-hmm. But how long do you plan to be here with us? Because we have a lot of things we need to work through together.
So I'll say that all of the communities that I've worked in have been small communities, not larger communities. I actually prefer the smaller communities, having had my start in municipal government with a smaller community as Delray Beach. What attracted me to Colonial Beach reminds me of being home in South Florida in Delray Beach. So the Potomac River here in Delray Beach, we have the waterways there as well. So there are the similarities there. The small town feel and the small knit community that Colonial Beach is really attracted me here. When I visited with my daughter some time back, we actually coined this community the Hallmark Town because it's just so picturesque and quaint. Everyone was friendly. And in speaking with some of the local people who've been here a long time and some of the newer residents, I've heard that this community has grown a lot and it's changed for the better. I would love to be a part of Colonial Beach's continued growth, and I see a lot of projects that I would love to be a part of. To answer your question, how long will I be here? I will be here as long as the council would want me to be here, since I do serve at the pleasure of council. There's a lot of work to be done, and I am here to help in fulfilling some of those projects. The pier, which is a major draw and attraction to this community. There are lots of things that we can do regarding that. And speaking with other council members, there are just wonderful, wonderful ideas that I feel we can work together to accomplish. In terms of when will I leave? I hope I am here for a good long while. I've spoken with more seasoned managers, and some of them have remained in one community for the entirety of their career. I think that's great because you actually get to see a project that you started with come to fruition, and then you go on to other projects and you really see the growth in a community and know that you've had a hand and a part in making that community what it is. So I would love to be able to do something like that.
Tell me a little about your vision for Colonial Beach. Obviously, when you took the job, yes, you look for guidance from the council, but you have some ideas of improvements and process improvements and ways of doing things. What are some of the highlights of those?
If we take a larger look, I think that there are opportunities for developing our waterways. This town has become the premier destination spot for a lot of people in Northern Virginia who want a quick getaway. They want to get away from the hustle and bustle and just come and relax at a slower pace here. I would like to continue to develop our tourism during our season. Just work with the NGOs who are currently in town in developing events, continuing those events, and just to be the preeminent community within the Northern Neck, where people from the Northern Peninsula, the Southern Peninsula would want to come and emulate some of the things that we've done.
Change is imminent. It's always a part of the human process. But a lot of people who still live here in Colonial Beach have done the living, working, and dying in this town. I feel, and I suspect you do as well, that we owe them a debt of gratitude and also a way to keep them from being gentrified out of their homes. What are some of your ideas of ways that we can ease the transition for those folks who maybe were spouses of watermen who didn't have large Social Security checks and still are struggling to make ends meet? When our real estate is going up, that's a good thing for most of us, but there's a gap there. How do we help ease that gap?
What I would want to do is just have some conversation, find out what the immediate needs and research our ordinances, codes, and see if we currently have anything in place to immediately assist. That would be one avenue. Another avenue, based on my discussions with them, would be, let's see if there are resources that we can partner with the county to offer. Also, perhaps we just need to implement and come up with different solutions that would specifically help and take a look and see how we could implement that. And that could happen within a phased approach. So immediately, I think what would need to happen would be a conversation, assessing what those immediate needs are, seeing if we have something within our ordinances and codes that would immediately address those needs, working with the county to see if any services, if we can partner with any services there, and then see if there is something that we could create in order to address those needs. Because I think that it's important for those members of our community who've been here for a long time. We are a community that looks out for each other, and I think we need to take a look and see how we can address those needs.
Part of what you've described, now by the time this airs, the first visit will have already taken, but Westmoreland Social Services is coming to visit with us and share with citizens not only the benefits to which they would be eligible, but help them through the application process. And I personally want to thank you for your leadership on that. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I'm one of your biggest fans. And the reason for that is because I've never seen you get caught flat-footed once. So one of the things that is terribly important in a leader is to be able to see when the thicket is coming up and being able to machete their way through it. So tell me a little about the process of helping to solve our issue with the wastewater treatment plants and the spillage. Can you take us through that process?
Sure. So I believe this was during the March 6th meeting. Council approved an agreement to bring on a third-party contractor to take over the operations of our wastewater treatment plants. The name of the company is Inboden. They will operate the plant while the town will maintain ownership. It's very important that everyone realizes that the town still maintains ownership of the plant, but Inboden will take over the operations. Now, what that means is the issues that we've been having with the plant, they will identify and correct those issues. We've already taken some proactive measures to address some of the issues that we've had. I know that everyone's aware of some of the spills that we've had. We've had a spill 4th of July and then a couple of others after that. So what we did is we purchased a new SCADA system. Now the SCADA system alerts the operators there is some malfunction or some overflow that's imminent or that will occur. So the previous system that we had malfunctioned, so we were not alerted of any potential problems until after the fact, i.e. spills. So this new system will provide us with, or it should provide us with, enough time to know that there's some sort of a problem so that the operators can go to wherever the problem is occurring to try to mitigate a spill. There are also various issues with cleaning up of the plant and ordering various equipment for the plant. And so Inboden will do that. Now, at our next council meeting, I'm going to discuss just some of the preliminary things that Inboden has already taken care of. Now, they've only been at our plant for a week now, just a little under a week now, and some of the immediate results that they have provided is that one of our clarifying tanks had a lot of sludge, if you will. And so that's already been cleaned, and they've provided pictures with the before, what it looked like, and with the after. And there's a stark contrast. So these are some of the immediate things that Inboden has already done with only being in the plant in under a week. So they will provide us with monthly updates of things that they've done, improvements that they've made, any purchases that they've made. And so I think this is a really, really great relationship that we've developed with Inboden, and just look forward to our plant being back in compliance and just the success overall success of the plant just under their operations.
This relationship with Inboden wasn't pure happenstance. You were foresighted to be able to be prepared for this.
Correct.
You were able to give the council options. Is that part of your attention to detail? Is that what helped bring that about?
It is. I am always thinking ahead, thinking of possible solutions to possible problems. That is just part of who I am, how I am built. Every solution that I think of isn't always a viable solution, but I am always thinking ahead. So when the spills occurred and we just had to do something, I immediately started thinking, well, what are some of the different options that are out there for us? And we had talked about various things, whether privatization of the plant, going to a water authority, just remaining status quo and remaining in a state of constant alert and just waiting for spills to occur. But then in speaking with just other managers with wastewater treatment plants and asking what solutions they implemented, what worked, what didn't work, I came across Imboden. Virtually every manager I'd spoken with spoke very, very highly of Imboden. I also had the foresight of hiring an interim assistant town manager, John Anzavino, who also mentioned Imboden in my discussions with him regarding the wastewater treatment plant. So I thoroughly vetted Imboden and called some of their references, and everybody just gave them a glowing reference. I met with one of the project managers, and everything that I asked for, they just gave me the assurance that they would be able to address and provide solutions immediately. It wasn't at the point where I was ready to finalize an agreement with them, but then a situation arose where we had to bring them on an emergency basis. So because I'm forward thinking, I already had them in the pipeline so that when the emergency arose, we were able to finalize the agreement with them in a timely manner.
I think part of the genius of the solution that you crafted is that you met the concerns of a lot of people. There were some of us on council who were saying, sell it. There were other people on the council saying, no, let's not change anything. The real point was that we didn't have time to come through with a legislative solution in the immediate because we had the pressure of the time constraints with DEQ, with personnel. The absolute genius of what you came up with is that you kind of answered everybody's concerns. Mm-hmm. We still maintain the plant. We still own it. We still get the revenue from it. We are having the problems that we have corrected. And we're being foresighted so that we're triaging it and fixing things on a proactive basis. Are those fair statements?
Those are fair statements, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
She can't do this 24/7, but she seemed to be doing it pretty close to that. What do you do when you unwind?
So I am an absolute theater lover. So I love the theater. I love the opera. I love ballet. I like the rodeo, believe it or not.
You're truly a Renaissance woman.
I am. I had plenty opportunities to attend rodeos when I was in Texas, looking for some opportunities here. As I've spoken to a couple of people here, there are some opportunities for that. So I would love to get plugged in with that. I also love to golf. I'm part of a women's golf group. And we have annual events, so when I have some spare time, those are some of the activities that I enjoy.
I will ask you this, even though you're a rodeo enthusiast, don't steer us wrong, okay? Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. It is my absolute pleasure.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.